Friday, we are set and ready to roll to all of you. Thank you so much for joining our Media Bids Power Hour. You'll be hearing from myself, Ernest, with Power Hour, and Jed with Media Bids as we roll along. We always love our programs. You inspire us. Our topics come as an inspiration from your questions, your challenges, your opportunities. Today, we're going to be talking about training versus coaching, when to do what, when to do which, how to use them in conjunction with each other. This is a program that we've never put on over the last 18 years, so we're very excited to be here together, and very much looking forward to any questions that you might have. We're always going to encourage you to make notes during the course of this program, honoring the very best in adult education. We are here not training, but we are coaching. We want to transfer the knowledge, and that's one of those important distinctions. So if you'd like to just take the three questions we're going to be covering, the more notes you make, the more that you take, the more that you will learn from the work that we're going to be doing. Jed, how about some opening words related to Media Bids, what's been cooking, trends you've been seeing? And I know earlier you were talking about last month's program for all of you. Jed put on a fantastic program about forecast for this upcoming year and insight and news and trends that you're not going to hear anywhere else. I encourage you to go back to the Media Bids site and go listen to the presentation last month that Jed gave. So, Jed, how about some opening words and tell us what's cooking at Media Bids?
Sure. First of all, I want to thank Ernest. Ernest, as you will soon find out if you haven't been on a call before, does a great job, provides enormous amounts of information, and is incredibly knowledgeable about the industry as a whole. So I always learn a lot from listening to him, and much prefer these teleconferences when he does the majority of the talking. So,
bada bing. Hey, and I love yours. So, you know, I think we're the mutual admiration club.
Must be the only one. Ernest does a great job, and so I'm sure that we will all learn a lot today. The Media Bids is a website. We're a company. It's been around for about 15 years. We do a lot of our transactions using a website, but we buy and sell print advertising. We sell ads for about 8,000 publications, 9,000 publications, and we buy ads on behalf of about 15,000 advertisers. There's about 20,000 that use our site, but we're about 15,000 of them are active and make purchases. We buy thousands of ads a week, and for a variety of different customers that are most of the transactions are occurring sort of through our website, but they're for the print versions of publications. So we're always looking for more participation from publications. We're always looking for publications who want to sell more space, who have space that's available to sell, and we'd love to talk to you more about what we can do to help you drive increased revenues. It doesn't cost anything to use Media Bids. We have no charge. We only make money when we pay you. So there's very little risk. So we'd love to, if you're not currently using us, we'd love to get to know you and to hopefully drive some revenue your way.
And just in response to what Jed is sharing, we have worked with Jed, our clients work with Jed and his team in Media Bids. Positively, you will have an opportunity to drive more revenue, work with a very media-savvy group. Your advertisers will win, financially you will win, and you will love working with the group of Media Bids. And Jed and I go all the way back to 2005, 2006 when we first met, and we've been putting on programs like this. And Jed is an old-fashioned guy. He sort of does what he does, fulfills the promises that he makes, and follows through on the other side. I love it.
Completely. You're not supposed to talk about the clothes I wear.
I like the way business was done in the 40s because you know what? You were as good as your name and as good as your word, and I love that, okay? So my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. We work with publishing and advertising groups and publications of all kinds, newspapers, print, e-newsletters, also obviously web advertising, and we've been doing this since the mid-'80s when we began professionally in the world of ad sales. So there's nothing that I haven't seen and our team hasn't seen over the last three decades. And for the last 18 years, we've worked with more than 2,000 publishing groups and teams in 11 time zones around the world. So you get our drift. There's nothing you're going to bring to us that we haven't seen and that we can't help you with. In addition to all the work we do around Power Hour, everything from executive leadership, search engine optimization, helping our clients on that side, a recruiting division, investment banking, expert LinkedIn training, but we also have a Power Hour Sales Academy. It began last year. We meet every single Tuesday. It's open mic. So it's like we're meeting here, but it's live. And every single week on Thursday, we send you an audio sales newsletter specifically about a topic. It might be about LinkedIn. It might be about e-newsletters. It might be leveraging associations. We have upcoming spin, closing techniques, fielding objections, FAQs. Literally, think about 52 weeks, one nugget a week. You listen to a 15-minute audio sales file on Thursday or Friday or Monday, and then on Tuesday we meet open mic, same time, and it is very lively and very robust. I encourage you to come join us. We only work with one publication or advertising sales team per city, per category. So it is exclusive, meaning we never work with a competing company or a competitor. We're going to dive in here and today talk about training and coaching for success. We have never done this, Jed. It's going all the way back to 1995. We had no data points on this, but this is a near and dear passion for me. And as we're thinking about this, the very essence, let's just define for a moment, and I think we all have our own definitions, but training is the act of giving knowledge. Jed, really, I think about sort of the classic teacher in the front of the room, kids are, you know, there in the classroom, and frankly, our training programs look like that, that we just bring people into training and we train them and we try to infuse and give them the knowledge. Coaching is that we are going to help those on our team win. It's the other side. I'm going to train you on A, B, and C, but when you're actually out doing it, succeeding, and writing advertising agreements, the coaching component takes over. So if we sort of think about at the very beginning when someone joins an advertising sales group, 100% of what's being done on the first day is training, and then as the week and as the day, week, and month progress, the training reduces because the knowledge has been transferred, and now the coaching is we help you win, okay? So as we go along into the first month, the second month, and for those of you that have ongoing advertising sales teams, the coaching is probably 90 or 95% of what you're doing with existing and long-term hires, okay? So, Jed, is that helpful just to kind of think about the distinction between coaching and training so that we can just define that before we go forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't completely clear on that myself. So you can't coach someone until they've been trained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no coaching or guidance. Let's propose for just a moment that you've never hit a baseball. If I'm going to train you about it, I might show you a video. I might have you watch me. I might have you go through slow motion. I might pitch some balls to you so you can swing. All of those are the training, the learning pieces. The coaching begins. Now you're in a game setting. You're at bat. I'm going to watch the film now of what you're actually doing because now it's live, right? We're in the moment. It's the same thing. If we're working in a classroom, if we're working in our conference room, if we're doing training behind the scenes, the coaching component happens when it's live. We're out in front, face-to-face with the potential advertiser. We're working on a renewal. We're working on a webinar or a conference call where we have a team that, you know, that we're proposing something to. That's live. And the coaching is going to happen as a result of what I see, where I can praise, and what I don't see, where I'm going to critique and debrief and help you improve. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's go another way, though. Imagine for just a moment that I was using that same baseball visual, and imagine that I train you, we do all the slow motion, we practice, but I never see you in a game setting, but I still want to coach you to success. Is it possible that I'm going to be able to coach if I never see you swing in a live setting?
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay. In the same way, for those of you as who are sales leaders and who are guiding your sales team, if you're not in the field working with them for face-to-face or joining three-way calls or getting CC'd in on emails, or part of a shared presentation if it's a webinar. If you're not there, you cannot know, absolutely category cannot know how those on your team are doing. It can't happen, and it won't exist. And when Jed, one of the first questions I ask when I'm talking to advertising sales managers is I ask them how much field time they spend. Field, whether it's out in the field, if we're making in-person presentations, or field meaning, you know, by email, by phone, by webinar, by conference call on the other side. Okay? So for all of you, an honest assessment, what percent of your day, week, and month is spent and invested coaching those that are on your team for success? And we'll leave you with that question behind the scenes. Jed, let's get a little more granular. Point number one, we said that we were going to talk about what happens on the first day, the very first day. And the key piece is it doesn't happen on the first day. If you wait for someone to walk through the door and that's when the prep begins, you have absolutely failed to make a positive first impression. You cannot afford to ever have somebody walk in and have it to be the most disorganized day. The phone doesn't work. There are no business cards. Email hasn't been set up. There's no laptop. It goes on and on. They're not set up on the CRM. I mean, you know, we have heard very, very frustrating first day stories over all of our years. And just so all of you know what's at stake here, if you don't get the first day right, remember that when somebody was interviewing and looking at your company, they probably had another 3 to 5 other opportunities out there. So quite honestly, they might step out. If you've ever wondered why somebody on their second or third or fourth day leaves, slides their keys under the door and never comes back, because they accepted another offer. They stepped into your world. It was chaotic. It was unplanned. It wasn't structured, and they left. Trust me when I tell you that's exactly what happened. So what has to happen in order to prepare for the training side of the first day began 2 weeks before they even walked through the door, began a week before they even walked through the door, is prepared the night before every step of the way. Everything has to be absolutely in its place. A little quick tip on this. I learned this, Jed, back in my San Diego days and California days back in the late 80s. I had a gentleman leave the team, and I had kind of one of these wild hairs, like, before I have the next person come in, I should probably go wipe down the desk and tidy things up. And I didn't have any of the game plan of what we're going to talk about here today. And then I was like, I should probably, arrange the files. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow. I pulled out, one of the drawers on the desk, and I started just arrange things, tidy up, and throw a few things away. All of a sudden I was like, oh, my gosh. In the training we did with this young man, we gave him tools, and these tools never left the office. And then there was another folder of things that never left the office. Then it was like, oh, my God. It's like one of these epiphanies, Jed, that I had. I was like, you know what? I failed as the leader. I failed as the coach for this young man to give him the tools and then go inspect what I expected. Had I gone out and ridden with this young man in my early days of advertising, I would have realized he wasn't using all the tools. My training wasn't being applied, and I learned that. It caused me to change my training, and it caused me to spend more time in the field so I could be a better resource. So the first day, pre-work. Before somebody comes on board, there should be information that they're going to read before they even walk through the door, whether it's training prep, a book you want them to read, training manual information, studying of the competition, whatever you learning about the sector. Maybe you'll give them some magazines that are about your particular industry or a particular sector, whatever it might be. Have them pre-read and pre-do that work. Number two, when they come in, they're going to get a calendar that's going to show them, and just a little bitty piece, this calendar bottle, comes from a little bitty company by the name of Xerox, where myself and many of the people that I worked with in my corporate days were trained. We were in ad sales, but we were being trained by Xerox, some of the best-selling strategies I've ever seen. And then they went on to help us with our training process and our training manual. And over 25 years, Jed, we've refined the process, and hence the reason we're talking today about training and coaching. So a calendar. The calendar is the first 20 days of a new hire, and it's split in half AM and PM. You're going to show a new hire that you have a plan for them for the next 20 days and basically in 40 boxes what they're going to be doing. Small, quick note, and we've done this on other MediaBid Power Hour programs, you also utilize that in the hiring interview process. Let me show you our training plan. Let me show you where we coach you. Let me show you what your first 20 days looks like. It's impressive. So that's the calendar that they're going to use and we're going to use as well. Also recognize that we're going to do some cross-training in that. So it's not just ad sales. They need to learn about collections. They need to learn about distribution, circulation, production, all of those areas. Let them work their way around the horn. Don't just funnel them in. I think, Jed, we talked about this in the last couple of programs, the importance of working with distribution, the importance of working with circulation, because those who best understand it sell it the best. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And very often, that kind of stuff, if it's not done in the early days, probably never gets done.
It really doesn't. And I can remember there was a young lady who worked for me. Her name was Carrie. And I said, Carrie, listen, you're going to spend the half day tomorrow out working with Mike on distribution. So tomorrow, you know, put your sneaks on and your blue jeans. You should have seen the look she gave me. It was like, you know, I'm doing what? I said, yeah, you're going to go work distribution. You're going to be in the warehouse. You're going to be loading trucks. You're going to be, you know, dropping off books. You're going to be picking return books. You're going to be utilizing the software. You're going to be doing all of those things. And let me tell you, she gave me quite the look and the pushback. And I said, well, that's part of our training. Remember the calendar I showed you. Let me tell you, by noon, she came back. She said, let me tell you, that was the single best 3-4 hours I've ever spent. I saw it firsthand. I could sell it firsthand. I could walk it and talk it. She went on to become the distribution guru. She was all over it, and she could sell it, and she could walk it and talk it. And for all of us, when we're thinking about how we make the perfect sales presentation and walk through our media story, what we sell and tell related to our CERC, related to our distribution, is absolutely the most significant part of our presentation. So the last part of the first day, be certain you assign a mentor. I realize that, you know, depending on the size of your company, but a mentor that will be helping with and kind of be the go-to person for this new hire. Let's talk about the first week. This is a week of learning. There's going to be a lot of watching. This person should be watching you if you're going to be training them and watching others on the team. Quick comment about this. Make certain that any time that someone's working with anybody else in the team other than you, that they are absolutely airtight. What you don't want is a new person to go work with Lucy or to go work with Tim and in the first 2 minutes go, yeah, don't worry, you'll never have to do a sales report. Ernest will never ask for it. Oh, yeah, don't worry about the prep. Jed will be fine. Just you can scamper in any meeting. Jed will never ask you a question. You do not want that. You need to make certain those that are mentoring, those that are spending time with your new cubby, your new hire in that first week, and mentoring and guiding them have got to be top shelf. Absolutely. Also recognize during that first week you want to do a lot of role-playing. It's really important. I'm the buyer. You're the seller. You're the seller. I'm the buyer. We're going to work through FAQs, a real biggie here. I love to take a media kit and go page by page by page and say to a new hire, now listen, as you work on these pages, I'm going to give you the FAQ, the most frequently asked questions on this page. I'm going to give you the typical objections, and we'll role play. I want you to put the notes right on the media kit. Put them right there, because if you'll do that, then you can refer back. This will go on to become a master binder for you, and we'll talk a little bit more about library in just a minute. So role play. Also, In the first week, this begins some level of client introductions, face-to-face, by phone, by conference call, and you'll be there to join them to make some nice handoffs. We've done other programs about the pre-meeting prep. I'm just going to breeze through that just to say, please be certain that all those meetings are, to best practices, done correctly. And if you'd like to go listen to some of our MediaBid Power Hours related to that, just go into the MediaBid site, and they'll be there for you, and you'll be able to listen to those just about pre-meeting prep. The last piece is that, in this first week, this piece related to the pre-meeting prep and anything else that a new hire needs, this is where you're going to show them the steps and have them walk through and be able to guide them. Lastly, let me just come around the bend. In the first month, right, we're going from the first day, week, month, this is also where we're planning one full sales cycle. We're handling sales, renewals, prospecting. We're handling production, okay? So all that has to be in your training. We're talking about performance. We're talking about quota, compensation. Remember, last year we did a program all tied to gold, silver, bronze, 24 months, compensation models. If you remember, and for those of you that joined us for that, recognize that we're going to be using that to talk to a new hire, and we're going to be working in the field. Back in my corporate days, Jed, they used to call me, my nickname was Jeeves, as in Jeeves the chauffeur, because they knew when I came into the market, and most of our stuff was face-to-face in those days, I came into the market, I was the chauffeur. I drove They sat. They told me where we were going. We got to every meeting beforehand. We talked the night before about the prep. Then before, just before we walked in, we reviewed our game plan, who was going to do what and how it was going to roll out. We ran the meeting together, and then we came out and we debriefed. Okay? So I was nicknamed Jeeves. Questions or comments on first day or first week or first month?
So it's possible for someone to be successful in training, mm-hmm. but still need a lot of coaching.
Absolutely, because the training is just the beginning. Jed, I'm going to show you how to swing the bat. I'm going to show you where your hands are. I'm going to show you what to think about if it's a righty or lefty pitcher. But that's just the training. Those are just the words. Now we have to go practice it. Then I've got to go see you do it in a game.
Right. And even if you can, and even if you are successful in practice, right, in role playing and in stuff you do in the office, mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily mean that it will translate to the field.
That's exactly correct. Because in the heat of the moment, you may or may not handle that price objection or that negotiating point or a question about circulation or editorial or about a competitor. You may not handle it as crisply. Now, remember, if I'm there writing and we're there working together, Jed, and maybe it's gotten a little rough, you know, maybe they're saying, well, I don't know why, even know why you're here. I love your competitor, and I'm kicking you out of the office. This meeting's done, you know, and I would step in and help facilitate that meeting. And then when we debrief after, you'd be able to say, wow, Ernest, you know what? You know, that meeting was done, and you turned it around, and we walked out with a sale. And I'd say, okay, well, now what did you observe? Let's debrief. What did you observe? Where were you in the meeting, and why did you get stuck? What would you do next time to not get stuck? Then what did you observe as you watched me step in? Does that make sense, Jed?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, and that's an impossible thing to teach, right? You have to sort of go through it.
Mm-hmm. You can teach it, and you can give the foundation, but it's not until it's actually live that you're doing it in the moment with a client that you know that you got it, that you know exactly what it's going to take to move that forward.
Right.
Okay? So let's continue, and I'm going to weave in some questions here as well. And for those of you that, as we're rolling along, please just hit reply to the confirmation that sent you here, and we'll weave in your questions. We have a whole bunch that I'm going to tuck in here in just a moment. I just want to touch on for just a second the part about a training library. One of the things I hate to hear is, hey, we got a new hire, and I'm going to be out of pocket for 3 days. Okay, as all of you hear those words, if you go, hey, that's me, okay, this is for you, okay? Think about training as a library. What's on the shelf? So when someone comes new on board, they're going to have a two-page outline of all that we're going to cover. They're going to have the calendar of what's going to happen AM and PM for the first 20 days. They're going to have things that they're going to read. They're going to have people that they're going to work with. And then they're going to come in and start to draw on a training library. That training library can be a video. It can be a webinar. It can be an audio like we're doing here. There's all kinds of ways to have things sort of on the shelf. And two good things happen from that. Number one, it begins to infuse the knowledge. Number two, there's consistency in the way that you do the training. Just a quick little soundbite about training by video, by audio, by webinar. Do it in little soundbites. Don't go out and do 4 hours. Go do 10 segments of 4 minutes or 8 minutes or 10 minutes because you could always come back and revise small modules. You do not want to go back and revise the whole thing. Okay? So think about anything you put on the shelf from a training library perspective that you want to put, just do that incrementally. Let's field some of the questions that came in. We have a question from a participant in Pennsylvania. How can I prepare a better training program if I'm not a good trainer? My response back is, are you sure you're not? Okay? Number two, have a good plan and a good outline, okay, and work from that plan, all right? And I'm a really big believer in every single week training, continuing to invest. It's, by the way, Jed, the exact reason why our Power Hour Sales Academy meets every Tuesday. Every Tuesday, like in my corporate days, I wanted to infuse that knowledge. And so for our participant in Pennsylvania who posed that question, don't think about training that we do at the beginning. It's a two-day event, and thereafter we just go sell stuff. Look for every single week to insert a little nugget of information. Let's talk today about LinkedIn. Next week, let's talk about our e-newsletter. Next week, let's take a particular competitor and dissect that competitor. Try to keep things fresh, and I liked your question related to that, so thank you for sharing that. Jed, let's see. We have another question from a participant in Maryland who says, how important is advertising sales experience specifically versus sales experience in general? Jed, I'm going to kick this off. I'd love your insight as well. I think, Jed, about a bullseye, and in the middle of that bullseye is somebody who has two things, industry experience and ad sales. That's the golden ticket, right? That's the double word in Scrabble. They know a sector. They probably work for a competitor, maybe in another market or that market, and they know ad sales. One ring out would be that they've done ad sales. One ring out from there, they have done industry sales, but maybe not advertising, so I'm going to teach them that. And then one ring out beyond that is the opposite. They have no ad sales, and they have no industry experience. It means I'm going to have to teach them the industry. Think about my training library. And on the other side, it means that I need to work with them on the sales side. Have they done B2B, B2C, B2M, which is business to medical? You know, what kind of sales and selling have they done? And that's the furthest ring out from the bullseye. Jed, your observations as you've worked with and hired, you know, those in sales.
I think some type of sales experience is very valuable because I think that there's a certain type of person who thrives on the challenge of sales, and in many respects, good salespeople are pretty adaptable. They can go from one industry to another and can be successful because they're comfortable with the sales process. Mm-hmm. To me, the type of person that I always tried to stay away from, and sometimes didn't, to my peril, right, is the kind of person who, whether or not they have experience, is uncomfortable with rejection. You know, it's a little bit hard to define. I always found that the kind of person who was comfortable selling themselves tended to make a good salesperson because they were, in some cases, overly confident in their abilities and therefore were able to sort of let rejection kind of roll off their back.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And Jed, as you know, we've done Media Bid Power Hours in past years all about the nine steps for hiring and interviewing and assessments and interview questions, phase interviewing, and there's a whole formula to that. But to Jed's point, you do have to find that right fit and the right clay. And so the specific question was about, do they need ad experience? And I'm hoping that it's helpful. If not, send us a follow-up note. Again, this is a participant in Maryland. There was another question related as well. What are the best practices for compiling a training curriculum? And we do it a variety of ways. I don't know, Jed, we've probably built, you know, 1,000 or more over the years. We've worked with literally thousands of media kits over the years. So, you know, the media kit in many cases drives the training outline. They really go hand in hand, and then we overlay that with, you know, making certain we don't skip over, you know, distribution, circulation, operations, collections, production, blah, 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 blah. So that's kind of a nice starting point for the participant in Maryland who has that question for us. Let me see, Jed, if there was one additional question that we wanted to weave in here, and then we'll go forward. Here's one. This is from a participant in Virginia. My reps are independent sales reps. This is interesting. My reps are independent sales reps. They're not staff. Am I wrong to expect that they are responsible to keep their sales skills current? My words are, if they're out representing you and your product, if they're out representing your world and they're driving earnings and they're driving commissions and you want them to drive revenue, then if it's to be, it's up to me. I would positively, absolutely want to make certain that once a week, again, you hear my passion for this over all my corporate days. We met every single week as a team on Monday to talk about the biz of the biz. And then every Wednesday or Thursday, we would meet just to focus on selling and sales. I would positively, absolutely encourage you to do that. I'm a major believer in that, and it's also, again, the reason why our Power Hour Sales Academy is done weekly, because it's just enough. 15 minutes, you listen to something about LinkedIn. 20 minutes or so on Tuesday, we talk about it, and you're right back into your world, and that is exactly the nice piece of keeping the training fresh and refreshing for those in your team. And I think one of you asked about that, so a little later on we'll talk about keeping people fresh. Okay?
It sounds like the person who asked that question is taking the IRS rules of subcontractors very seriously. That they're not that you know, that they have to be completely independent. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that, you know, to the extent that, you know, if they're representing you and they're working for you, then you probably want to continue with their training or coaching.
Absolutely, and that's the perfect segue into the second part, and then we'll weave some more questions in, Jed. In the second part, point number two, we said we would talk a little bit about those on your advertising team. Now we're moving beyond new hire. This is your current team. And for you, for those of you that have joined, we, you know, we realize that we have those of you who are VPs of sales, sales managers, sales leaders, owners of your company. But we have on the other side those, you know, some of you that are just salespeople and would maybe like to aspire to be a sales leader. So the first part is make a note that says, when I am a sales leader, these are the things I will be doing. Okay. The other side of that is you're here as a leader. And if you're not getting these things that we're talking about here today, then you need to take initiative and share with the president or the CEO or the founder of your company or your sales manager. Share with them some of the things that you're looking for. In the same way that you inspire us to do programs like today, we're asking you to inspire those on your team to do more. And frankly, weekly training is key. And then the ongoing coaching. If I'm a sales rep and I'm having kind of a, you know, a down month, I am going to say to my sales manager, will you come ride with me for half a day? Will you come join my next half dozen meetings by phone this week? You take the initiative. Don't wait for your, you know, your VP of sales to say, hey, you know, hey, Tina, sorry, bad quarter, you're fired. Okay? Do not let the bugs of life splat on your windshield. That means you're on your heels watching life come at you, and you are going to get fired if you're not producing and performing. We, in our coaching model, and in all the years we've ever worked with our clients in this space, we're on our toes. Our clients are up on their toes, leaning in. We take action. We move towards things that make us uncomfortable. We continue to be green and growing, never red and ripe. Okay? So just a little bit I just wanted to say for all of you that are enjoying our program that are not sales leaders. You are, just by definition that you're here, push those above you and ask them to stretch. So here we go into the point number two.
Let me just ask
please,
Jeff, because I think that, that there's probably some people out there who are thinking the same thing. Do you have any sort of quick advice for example, if two salespeople are riding together, you know, in an effort for one to coach the other, how do you deal with the commission aspects of that? Do you have any sort of quick rules for that? I mean, do you just hope that you know, in time it all evens out? So you know, you still go by the territories. Is the senior salesperson who's doing some coaching, are they compensated differently? Because it seems like, unfortunately, a lot of times those types of calculations factor into these things happening.
Okay, sure. A couple quick comments. And we've actually had some questions that tie into that, so it's perfect. If you're a sales leader and sales manager, in my opinion, half your compensation or more should be coming from the performance of your team. So you're out there riding, or you're out on calls, or you're on webinars, whatever it takes to help those in your team succeed. Okay? Now, on that window, in that 20-day calendar, Jed, where we ask, you know, a cubby, a brand-new hire to ride with a senior person or join some of those meetings, you know, there's all kinds of ways to express gratitude. Clearly, you know, by voice, clearly a little spiff for the half or full day, you know, that I might run with, you know, a new hire. Clearly, if I want to be promoted, I'm showing my leadership skills. You know, I'm showing that I'm committed to the team. So there's a variety of ways. Now, when you say two reps out there riding, and it's part about split commission. Look, if I'm a new hire and you're the senior rep, I'm just there grateful just watching you. I'm not going to earn from that. You're going to help me earn in the future. You know what I'm saying? Okay,
yeah,
so we don't kind of bump into a lot of issues, you know, related to that.
Okay.
So let's talk about training and where does the training end and the coaching begin? Okay, so the first part is that we've been talking about the weekly focus on the training, okay? But and we've also been talking about taking one topic, you know, per week. Another piece that keeps us fresh, is that, we want to, let's take for example that we want to go a little deeper and research a competitor. You know, rather than you always having to do it, because you're the sales leader, delegate that out to one of the salespeople. Let them have the week to go research a competitor, to go work on a particular project, to share an idea about how we want to maximize some visibility at an upcoming trade show, or what we want to do to improve our e-newsletter or our search engine visibility for our website. You know, be comfortable as a leader to ask others to be involved. Share success stories. I love coming together as a team to share success stories. Hey, you're not going to believe, I got this objection, this is what I said, high five, I sold the double truck for 2 years. Boom. I'm excited. Plus a web ad and something on our e-newsletter. Okay? I mean, that's, but also talk about the tough stuff together. Click goes the phone, or click goes the, the office door. I didn't get the sale. Man, there's nothing tougher. If you want something that you can bring into the training side of your weekly meetings, it's right there. Talk about, hey, what happened? Hey, I didn't get the renewal. Hey, I didn't get the sale. Hey, look what I observed. Is there another way to turn the diamond? And, well, I would have tried this. Oh, I didn't think about that. Well, I might have presented this. Wow, I forgot to bring that. Well, I might have done this as pre-research. Oh, my gosh. Had I had that, I could have gotten the sale. You know, try to be an ever-learning and ongoing growing team that is, we're all in it together. Take every single week, 52 weeks, to rock together on the training side. Let's talk about the coaching, though. All right. Remember that this is when they were there to help those on our advertising team who are stuck. Okay? They're stuck. Performance is not happening. We've run past programs about dashboards, so I'm just going to breeze through to say a dashboard should be developed and be available for every single person on your advertising sales team. For those of you that are ad sales reps, you need to know what's on that dashboard because it is your performance. So that's when you're reaching out to say, wow, I'm having a tough month. Man, I'm having a tough quarter. All right? And that's where you want to be thinking about what it is you need in terms of help. And it's not training, it's coaching. I would be saying to my manager, please come on my next three meetings. Please help me prepare for my next two renewals. Please join me for my next new sales presentation. They're a former advertiser and they're with our competitor. Okay? So that subtle difference of the training is the knowledge, and we're going to do that weekly, but the coaching is where we're in motion. So it basically flows from you watch me to learn and we debrief. I watch you and we learn and debrief. And that's the very way that we spool through this. Jed, I'm going to weave in a couple of questions here that tie in also to this. From New York, we have a participant who said, how do I convince brands to invest in digital and social advertising, and how do I best present the information? And for this participant, I just want to say the words, there are 16 steps to giving a powerful sales presentation. I'm going to also make the assumption that embedded in there, you're going to talk about print, your e-newsletter, your website, your search engine visibility, and the whole array. There's 16 pieces to making a powerful sales presentation. And if you're struggling with those prospects or potential advertisers to buy into your digital and your social advertising story, it begins right there. The strength of your story is a reflection of the success of your ad sales. Okay? And if you have a follow-through question on that, just ping a note to earnestofpowerhour.com or just send an email to the address that we sent you for the confirmation, and we'll come back to that. Jed, I think there was one other question related to this point, and we have a participant in Washington who said, being that we are a local publication, do many people search for and contact marketing publications that find you on the web? Okay, so this is some version, Jed, of will advertisers find us? Will advertisers find us? Now, Jed, we've been around this space a long, long time. Think about how many advertisers find us versus how much work we do to go out and find them and sell them something.
Right.
You with me on that?
Yeah, no, an advertiser has to have, your publication has to meet such a specific need to be able to attract advertisers. You know, mm-hmm. If you're an architectural magazine, you might get calls specifically for architects. But what we find very often is that it takes a little bit of education to show advertisers which publications sort of meet the needs that they have. Most publications are not sort of obviously meeting those needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only example I might share is back in the days of newspaper when they were a monopoly. And frankly, I remember interviewing those sales reps. Well, what is your day like? Well, we sit around the office. What do you do all day? Well, the phone rings. And what do you do? Oh, we just sell them upgrades. I was like, oh, my God. Wow, I'd like to be your friend because I've never sold an ad like that. I've knocked on doors. I've made phone calls. I've cold called. You know, I've done all the shoe leather stuff, and today I have his emails and webinars and all the other strategies. So I like to just say to our participant in Washington, I wouldn't hold my breath and I wouldn't wait for an advertiser in this lifetime. Unless we have something outrageously compelling, we've got to go out and take it to them. Okay?
Because the truth is you probably already have the advertisers who know without a shadow of a doubt that they need you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And while we're talking about sales performance and so forth, in Florida, we have a participant here today who's asked, is it customary to pay a base salary plus commission, and if so, how much, and is there a schedule? We've done entire Power Hour media bid programs related to that. So first step is go take a look at the media bid site and go listen to some of the programs that we've done about paying for performance, commissions, territories. There's all kinds of programs. I think there's 50 or 60 plus hours of programs that you can go listen to. But big picture, compensation has to fit your marketplace compensation. It's got to be competitive, and it has to reward performance. Typically with those in selling and sales, at least it should be a 60-40 ratio. At least 40% or more, even closer to 50-50, should come from performance. But on the flip side, you have to also take compensation out, gold, silver, bronze, levels of performance out across 24 months so you actually know what the comp looks like. Okay? So just a very important piece. And there are 9 steps to building a solid compensation plan. If you need any help, send an email, and I'll send over the 9 steps related to that. Okay? Jed, let's circle back. The third part that we promised to cover here today, and then we'll weave in some more questions. The third point we talked about is ad sales are not happening. Ad sales are not happening. Do you train or do you coach? And in the famous words of a famous song of Kenny Rogers and the Gambler, know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away. Okay? So let's just agree. We don't spend a lot of time on the, you either sell or you're fired. That's not our approach. But let's agree that, when Andy Grove, the CEO of Intel, says, the top 10% of my company, I want 100% retention, and the bottom 10%, I want 100% turnover, okay? And what he says in that quote is basically, I want to keep the best forever, and those at the bottom, we're going to part ways. So the first piece is, who's at the bottom and why? All right, and the question is there a training piece? Does somebody on our team have a lack of knowledge? And I have to say to all of you, and this is really what inspired the weekly training in my corporate days, and Jed, what we now do in our sales sales and advertising leadership academy, it's really to keep things fresh, to keep our training ongoing, and not believe that training was done in 1942 and it's done, and therefore everybody on our team is golden. You know, there are new things, especially related to social media, digital. Side, the website, e-newsletters, click-throughs, CPMs, SEO. There is so much more. Jed, can we just agree for a second that an ad in the earliest days was what? An ad was an ad. You know, you jockeyed around with the creative a little bit, but that was about it. It was not that sophisticated a sale.
Right.
Right? It was easy.
Right, yeah.
Relatively.
Yep, definitely.
Okay, but when you now go into an advertiser who says, why do I need your ad? I've got 5,000 likes on my Facebook. I've got 4,200 followers on my Twitter. I've got 18,000 members in my LinkedIn group. I've got 26,000 people getting my newsletter for my bakery, my muffler shop. Why do I need an ad with you? Can we just agree that advertisers have gotten more sophisticated, they have more channels, and we have more competitors than ever? So if you don't have ongoing training, how can you and your team possibly stay current? It's impossible. And if you've ever felt overwhelmed, it is overwhelming. And if you believe that, once a year we come to an annual meeting and we get trained, man, what happened the other 51 weeks? wasn't there. That's not pause. That's not the place that we want to come from. So, related to that, okay, when we're looking at this, do we train, do we coach, do we, you know, help individuals move forward? Of course we want to. Again, in the famous words of Xerox and their axiom for success, measure the activity, the results will follow. So the very first piece, Jed, anytime, you know, a client is talking about, you know, I'm struggling, a salesperson, my sales team, we go right to the basics. Let's talk about the number of calls. Let's talk about your dashboard, the number of meetings. Let's talk about closing percentages. Let's talk about renewal percentages. And just so all of you know, we've done programs on, just on the perfect renewal, for example, that you can listen to. Ad sizes, are they going up or down? Ad dollars, are they going up or down? So let the dashboard be a guide. Remember the words, though. Do not, and this is something, Jed, you know what I'm getting ready to say here. You know, if somebody is an absolute rock star on your team and has a bad month, do not berate them for that month and have them feel like, wow, here I've worked for 36 months. I have a tough month or a tough week or, you know, a tough renewal, and the first thing you do is you kick me when I'm down. You know what I'm saying, Jed?
I do. It's, yeah, and you know, along those lines, you know, how do you – you know, it seems like most of the conversations I've had like that, and it's been a little while since I've managed a sales force, but, you know, how do you get the salespeople to understand that it's not always the advertiser's fault? You know, a lot of times I think the feeling is that, you know, X happened with this advertiser, Y happened with that advertiser, and there's sort of a failure to kind of sort of see that the common denominator is the salesperson.
You know, you make a good point, and that really has to come from the top down, right? It says, hey, we're a culture here that we will win, we will support you as long as you're doing the work. We may not get every sale or every renewal, but our goal is to close 100% of both. Now, my question is, what do we need to do to support to get you there, okay? And ad sales reps and ad sales leaders, we do take responsibility. If it's to be, it's up to me. We take the responsibility. We want to be responsible. We want to be successful in the work that we're doing, but we can't do it by pointing, well, they didn't track. Well, they didn't do good creative. Well, they didn't like me. Well, they're in the competitor. I mean, come on. That does not get us a dollar or a donut. And if we're going to point fingers, we're probably not cut out for sales. The more that you look in the mirror, Jed, every single corporate meeting I ever came out of, and to this day, anytime I speak with a prospective company or organization about working with me and my company and our services, I ask myself the same question. What went well in there, and what am I proud of? And the flip side, what will I improve or what could have been better? And if you will ask yourself that question, you will be a constantly improving and constantly honest. You'll be giving yourself an honest assessment about you and your performance. Okay? Let's also talk about the coaching side here. Ad sales are not happening in the coaching side. Let's also remember weekly one-on-ones, right? Weekly one-on-ones, 15 minutes or less. Right? This is a meeting between salesperson, sales manager. We've done entire 60-minute programs. You can go back and listen to those. Weekly one-on-ones, though, include here's what I'm proud of. So, Jed, if we're sitting down and I'm the salesperson, you're my sales manager, it's my meeting to run. I am responsible for running this meeting to tell you, number one, what I'm proud of, number two, what my plan is for this week, and number three, Jed, where I need your help. Hey, Jed, I got a tough meeting on Tuesday. Can you join me? Hey, Jed, I've got a big webinar on Thursday. Can you help me on that renewal? Perfect. Jed, here's what I'm proud of from last week. Here's my plan for this week. I run the meeting. I take responsibility, and I let you know what it looks like. Sales leaders on the other side, you're making notes. You've got to be fully present. So when I say to Jed, here's what I need to be certain that Jed's fully present. No ringing phones, no distracting noise, no text messages. Jed is focused on what I need. You have to be present as a sales leader. You have to also listen to what's not being said. Jed, if I say to you, hey, listen, you know, I'm proud of last week, but I just don't know if this week's going to be as strong. Jed, you need to step right in, boom, and go, hey, Ernest, tell me a little more about why you don't think before the week even begins in our one-on-one why it's not going to be strong. You have to listen for the words and listen in between. You know, for example, hey, Jed, you know, last week was really strong. This one, you know, is going to be a little trickier. Oh, you know, it's spring break, and, you know, I just got a lot of things on my mind. Okay, spring break signals, kid underfoot, and you might be going on vacation. That's not my opportunity to sort of kick that person and go, hey, wait a minute, spring break, wait, hey, we got a quota around here. Hey, look, you're a big boy, you're a big girl, you'll figure it out, but it is spring break, and I want you to be with your family. I have never, ever found a win from saying, give less time to your family. I'm on the other side going, no, I want you to have as much time with your family and make as much as you want. But I want you to work as effective and efficiently when you are here. Hence the reason for the 16 steps for the perfect sales presentation, the 9 steps for the perfect renewal, the 9 steps for the perfect hire. These are all tied in. When you're working with the best practices and the best principles, then good things happen as a result. Also, be willing to ask the tough questions. Be willing to ask the tough questions as a sales leader of those that are on your sales team. And always remember to take notes because those notes lead into the next meeting. So when I sit down with Jed next week and he's my sales manager and I say, hey, Jed, you know, I want to share with you what I'm proud of. And you're going to say, hey, great, but how was spring break with your family? Everything okay? Oh, absolutely. We had a great time. And guess what? I got 2 sales and I was on a sailboat that day. Good. High five. Nice job. So remember that you're making notes so that you can have continuity as you roll into the upcoming week. Jed, let's field, we've got about 3 or 4 questions here that relate to this point, so let me see if we can tie them in here. We have got a question from a participant that came in from Iowa that says, how do you engage current employees when offering refresher training for both new and current employees? Okay, so in response, you've heard us talk a little bit about, you know, obviously it's part of the job that we're going to continue to train and continue to keep them current. It's part of their responsibility. We're going to continue to learn. We're going to have fun, and we're going to earn more. But also recognize that when we're trying to engage those in terms of training, you know, we want to mix it up. We want to do role plays. We're going to call people by name. Jed, you've heard me tell the story of the pop quiz, right? Remember I put the cards right under people's seats? And there were role plays under their seats, and I had them reach underneath their seat to pull out the role play. I'm the buyer. You're the seller. Okay, let's do the role play. And then the next person had to look under their seat. Jed, I have to tell you, years after we did that pop quiz, people would come into every single sales meeting looking under the chair to see if there was anything taped under there because it was going to be a role play or a pop quiz. So imagine you got grown adults coming into a conference room and they're all peering under the chair. And like a new hire would come in and go, hey, what's up, everybody? What's under the chair? You know, somebody stick a dollar bill under there? Well, you know, it was years ago, but Ernest did a pop quiz, and we want to see if it's there for this week's meeting. Okay. Needless to say, have fun, you know, and enjoy pop quiz. Listen, you want to stay fresh? Listen to our Media Bid Power Hours. Take 15 minutes and listen to the beginning of one of our programs, or go the other way. Assign your team to listen to one of the programs over the course of the next week, and then come back and talk about it. And, Jed, that literally goes on to be the inspiration with our sales academy. Listen to, we send out to, as you know, to our academy members and 15 minutes about some aspect of ad sales. They get it every Thursday. 15 minutes, that's it. Come join us on Tuesday, another 15 or 20 minutes, and we're done. Boom. And you're right back into your world. So look to mix it up with your team. Also, as you mentioned earlier, let somebody else on the sales team move it around and let them run a week at a time. You will find your team much more engaged. So to our participant in Iowa, if that's helpful, let us know on that. Let me see what else. I think we had one additional question here related to number 3. Here's a quick one. I want to compose an effective elevator pitch. I like those. This is for a participant in Utah, my home state. An effective elevator, you know, pitch. I'm okay, Jed, with elevator pitches, but nobody buys because, you know, listen, dollar for dollar, we've got the best cost per lease, and nobody, you know, speaks to trout fishermen better than us. Okay, that's fine, but you still have to show me the money. You still have to tell me now what else I get, what else is involved, your footprint on the web, your newsletter, your print. There's so much more. So, I appreciate the elevator pitch. It feels to me a little Zig Ziglar-ish, Jed. You know, it opens a conversation, but we're not going to sell It's like, you know, soup and salad may start a meal, but it's not going to make you full, and the same way with an elevator, you know, pitch. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And another quick comment, another one note we have, I'm looking for CRM solutions. CRM solutions, I mean, literally a $100 solution, depending on what your particular needs are. If you have a follow-up question, let me know on that. So many choices. Those are lots of great. Here's one more I'm going to weave in. This is from a participant in Indiana who says, I'd love some time management tips for busy media salespeople. This is really a big deal. Jed, I don't think we've done something. This is actually, you're probably hearing my pen whirling. This is something we haven't done on, and I'm just going to make a note, and we're going to call it Genius Work, Jed, and Less Paper Work. Okay, so you're to our participant in Indiana, look for an upcoming program. We're going to talk about specifically Genius Work and less paperwork. Here's the piece that does happen with ad salespeople. In general, we don't want them to be prima donnas, but in the end, the single most important thing, if you're a world-famous singer, you don't sell tickets out front, you don't set the sound system up, and you surely are not cleaning up afterward. All you do is what? Come up to the mic. If you're Sting, you just come up to the mic, and you sing, and you go home. Or you get in your 18-wheeler and wherever you're going, your RV, and you're on to the next gig, and everybody else is taken care of. You have to treat those who are selling advertising the same way. Be certain that they're not getting caught with busy work. Be certain that they're not doing things that are not driving sales, okay? Every single minute that they're not face-to-face, old school, belly-to-belly, or on a conference call or at a meeting, if they're not, then you have to ask yourself why. Sales leaders, that is for you to think about. And what is it they're doing, and what could be done by others on the team that would allow our salespeople to do nothing but sell? Jed, the closest analogy I have is like a shark. They keep moving, they keep feeding, and they never stop. And they have to do that to survive. We need our salespeople to do the same. Likewise, salespeople that are on our program, I need you and we need you to be thinking about that selfishly in a good way. Be selfish in a good way. It says, I will not do that. I cannot. I will not do that. I'm just going to focus on the things that drive revenue. Okay?
Yeah, I would argue that's an enormous problem for most sales.
Huge.
I would
right?
Guess, yeah, I mean, and that's why, you know, it's always the new salesperson that goes out and gets the clients that no one's gotten for the past
mm-hmm.
couple of years because
mm-hmm.
they're the only ones who have tried, right? Everyone
right.
else is worried about, you know, filling out paperwork, following up with a customer who needs
mm-hmm.
proof. You end up not selling, you end
mm-hmm.
up being a order sort of facilitator.
Absolutely. And you know what, Jed? That comment just inspired our next program. Okay? We're going to talk about genius work. We're going to talk about the highest and best use of our time. We're going to talk about what we're worth per hour. We're going to talk about delegating personal, professional. I'll tell all of you why I don't wear a watch, I don't own a car, and I haven't grocery shopped in 15 years. You're going to hear all of it. I'm going to tell you how selfish in a good way you can possibly be, so you can drive revenue on the other side and have a great life, great fitness, great family on the other. That's what you're playing for, but you got to do it with that in mind. Every single keystroke, you ask, why am I doing this? I could be spending more time with my wife or my children. 22 years, Jed, you know me. That's what I've been doing. Okay?
And then in the conference after that, we'll talk to your wife and children about why you wouldn't go away.
I love it. That's good. Yeah, you're setting up the next one. Exactly. Why I didn't take a vacation in the last 10 years. No. We'll get on that path, and we'll talk about, you know, galloping around the world and seeing 30 countries over the last 12 years, because it happens when you focus on your genius work and you don't get bogged down with paperwork and the stuff that doesn't drive revenue. We're right at the top of the hour. Jed, an absolute pleasure. We covered so much ground. We've already set our topic for next month. How about some closing words to the group before we wrap this up here?
Well, thanks, everyone, for joining us. Thank you, Ernest, for another enlightening hour. And we look forward to talking to you guys in the future. If you have any questions mm-hmm. about media bids or how we can help drive revenue, please reach out to us. We're always pleased to speak to a publication, so let us know.
Absolutely. And positively, a conversation with Jed and his team will be productive, will be profitable, and you will tremendously enjoy it. And in turn, thank you so much for being part of our program here. Thank you so much for your investment here today. We so thoroughly appreciate it. We believe every single month that we want to give you the opportunity to come listen to us speak, to provide educational and learning opportunities. We always believe in giving. The more you give, the more that your business will grow and your prosperity will grow, and we encourage you to do the same. Likewise, we hope things go fabulous with you when you think about training versus coaching, just to wrap things up. And if you would like to join us exclusively, meaning the only city, the only publication or advertising team in your city, in your category, please come learn more about our Power Hour Sales Academy. We meet every Tuesday. Open mic, you will love it. Open mic means we're fielding your questions real time, in addition to what you get every single Thursday. We'd love to have you come join us, okay? Jed, a pleasure. We'll see you next month, and thank you again as always, okay?
Thanks very much.
Thanks everybody. Yeah.